Again, you have been listening to Jesus Has Come and Brings Pleasure Eternal. It's one of my favorite hymns. And with us is the Reverend Mark Smith. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing just fine, Tom. Clear your throat. There we go. Beautiful day, as always. How are you?
Jesus Has Come and Brings Pleasure. Did you see who the author is?
Yes.
Who?
John Ludwig Conrad Allendorf.
You know him?
No, afraid not. He lived a little while before me.
Yeah, 1773.
Yeah.
But who's it translated by?
Oliver Ruprecht.
Yes, Oliver Ruprecht. I had him as a professor.
No kidding.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
At St. Louis?
No. No, it was, I think, Fort Wayne. Might have been Ann
Senior
Arbor.
Senior college?
Could be Ann Arbor, Milwaukee. Maybe it was Milwaukee. I went to Ann Arbor, Milwaukee, Fort Wayne, and then the seminary in St. Louis. So
you got kicked out of all those different ones.
Oh, right? I sure did, yeah. Yeah, we were the ones who put the bathtub on top of the roof at Ann Arbor. Yeah. President Paul Zimmerman was not happy about that.
It's a beautiful hymn, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you why. I've had a number of professors who were members, and one of them pointed out this hymn to me. His name is Professor Rosine. He's doing mission work overseas right now. Uh-huh. Just actually, his wife was at Concordia Publishing House. And in fact, they both go to St. Paul de Pere, where I'm a member out there.
Uh-huh.
But he was preaching for me one time and used this hymn. And ever since then, I just have loved it. Great tune, isn't it?
It is a beautiful, beautiful hymn.
Yes. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal.
And the words are great, too.
Yes. So why don't we start by taking a look at the words, if you'll read the first stanza.
Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Godhead, humanity, union supernal. O great Redeemer, you come as our friend. Heaven and earth now proclaim this great wonder. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal.
So we're talking to children about this, and Godhead, humanity, union, supernal. I mean, when's the last time you used that word?
That's one word in this hymn I don't quite have a definition for.
Well, supernal would be...
But I would say it's a superlative definition.
Yes, that's well said. Super. He's the super guy. And Godhead, humanity... See, that talks about the two natures of Christ away. Union supernal. The union isn't just with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but it's a union within Christ.
It was two natures.
Yes.
Not to be divided.
Exactly.
Yeah. He will always be God and man for all eternity.
What's the biggest heresy done by those who divide the two?
Oh, you're talking about confusing the Lord's Supper?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't believe that his two natures are always together, then you're going to say, like Calvin did, that his human nature is up at the right hand of God, and therefore when you take the Lord's Supper, you can't be taking his body.
That's wrong, of course.
Well, yes, all because you deny the two natures as the Bible explains it. And that's why it says union supernal. That's a union. There never is a time when Jesus is out of his humanity.
No, that's right. He will always be God and man.
Yes.
You can't separate the two.
Well said.
Ever since his conception.
There are really some technical terms, we're not going to go with it, as to how the two natures relate to each other. But one of them talks about the fact that the attributes of the divine have also been given to the human. In other words, when Jesus is everywhere, he's everywhere also in his humanity.
That's right.
See, some people think there's a contradiction after the resurrection because it appears that Jesus is in two places at the same time. No problem. He's God. So he can be with the women, he can be with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he can be in China at the same time that he's in New York.
Now, did that did that begin with his state of exaltation, or did that begin with his ascension? I always understood that the fact that he's everywhere, also according to his humanity, that began with his ascension. But I hear you saying it began even earlier than that.
No, I would definitely say at the point of his incarnation.
Even his point of incarnation?
Let me ask you.
He's everywhere according to humanity? I don't know. Is that right?
Well, then you're going to divide the two?
No.
Well, thanks for answering your question, Mark. Yeah. How can he not be everywhere in his humanity?
Even according to his humanity.
Sure, yeah.
Even right after his conception.
Right. I mean, to tell you the truth, John the Baptizer,
I know he's everywhere according
leapt in the womb because Jesus entered into the room. Who entered? Just his divinity?
No.
Just his humanity?
No.
All right. Boy, you're answering your question real well here.
How could I have missed that?
Because it makes no sense. Remember, particularly Lutheranism is contrary to common sense. And so, I mean, even Calvin, after his exaltation, didn't believe it.
See, I always thought that with his ascension, now he fills heaven and earth, even according to his humanity. Even according to his human nature. But that's not true.
No. Somebody told me what...
Are you absolutely certain of that?
Sure.
Okay.
Somebody told me what the ascension did is that now he makes use of his divine attributes, which he always had, according to this person.
Oh,
that's what I was
talking about me.
Oh, that's right. You were the one.
Yeah, I was the one that told you that. Oh, boy. Okay, Tom.
So, it's a mystery.
Clear your throat. Clear your throat now. Come on.
Yeah, but it's not one that we can figure out. All right, read two.
Jesus has come. Now see bondsmen. Now, let me take my glasses off so I can read this.
Why don't you clear your throat, Mark?
Jesus has come. Now see bonds rent asunder. Fetters of death now dissolve, disappear. See him burst through with a voice as of thunder. He sets us free from our guilt and our fear. Lifts us from shame to the place of his honor. Jesus has come. Hear the roll of God's thunder. You know, if I'm not mistaken, this entire hymn is talking about his second coming. Wouldn't you agree?
No.
Are you talking about his first coming?
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal.
It can't be the second coming because it says Jesus has come. He hasn't come yet in the second.
Yeah, but you know, the prophets often talk about, they often talk in the tone of, it's so sure it's going to happen, they speak of this as if it's already happened. The prophets did that in the Old Testament. They speak as if it's already accomplished. They're so sure of it happening.
Yes, I can understand that.
No, I really think this, I could be mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this entire hymn talks about his second coming. I mean, look at this. Now see bonds rent asunder, fetters of death now dissolve, disappear. He's talking about the resurrection, is he not?
No. I think you could say he's talking about the cross.
See him burst through with a voice as of thunder. He sets us free from our guilt and our fear.
When did he do that?
Well, you're right. He did that.
I'm getting sick and tired of you arguing with me and then saying, well, you're right.
He did do that long before his second coming.
Thank you very much.
That is true. But isn't it talking about the resurrection there? See him burst through fetters of death, now dissolve, disappear. Okay, you're right. He destroyed death even with his crucifixion. Okay.
Yes.
I don't know.
His resurrection. What I'm saying to you, you don't have to wait till his second coming.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
Okay. So that's, you could make a case that this explains more his exaltation. And when did that occur?
Well, his exaltation is with his resurrection.
Yes.
With his descent into hell and his resurrection.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, we preach this to the people today. There isn't a phrase here that doesn't apply to the people. See him burst through with a voice as of thunder.
Would you say this is, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Would you say this is his state of exaltation as opposed to his humiliation?
No.
Okay, I give up.
Because the wise men rejoiced at his coming. They had pleasure at his birth.
Yeah, Alpha and Omega, beginning.
How about end? Simeon and Anna?
Yeah, of course.
They had great rejoicing.
Just a little baby.
So when it says Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal, I wouldn't want to say that they weren't pleased with him until his resurrection.
Yeah, you're right, because, you know, Simon was... Simeon was Lord, now let us thou thy servant depart
in peace. Let's forget about Simeon and Anna and talk about God the Father. When did he say, this is...
Oh, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
That's right. And that wasn't after the resurrection. He said it twice before. He said it at his baptism, where he took on sin.
That's right. And his transfiguration.
And so Jesus brought pleasure to the Father. In fact, what do we call the first season in the church year?
Oh, Advent.
Yes, and what does that mean?
Well, his coming.
Yes, and what's the title?
Jesus has come brings pleasure eternal. Brings pleasure.
We celebrate that at Advent.
When do you think this hymn, I don't know, is there a time of the year that this hymn is most appropriate, would you say? I know it comes under the subtitle Redeemer.
Yes, I found that interesting too, that it wasn't under, and I'm not sure how to answer your question there. I'll tell you where it is in the old hymnal.
Oh, please.
Lent.
Really?
Yes.
I wasn't even aware this is in the old hymnal.
Oh, yes. When I say the old, I don't mean two back,
Lutheran,
but one
Lutheran
back.
Hymn. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Lutheran worship?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to look.
It's under Lent.
It's under Lent.
Yeah.
Lent?
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is almost, I don't know, this doesn't have that quite note of solemnity that Lent usually
has.
Well,
I don't know. Look at the last line. He sets us free from our guilt and our fear. When did he do that? During Lent, when he died on the cross.
Yeah, yeah.
So, lifts us from shame to the place of his honor. He says that on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And Jesus has come, hear the roll of God's thunder. I really like that phraseology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hymn seems to have more of a celebrative tone, though.
Oh, yes.
Than for Lent. Somber or...
What do you mean, except for... What do we call the day he died?
Good Friday.
Oh, thank you. We don't call it Bad Friday.
No, I know.
We celebrate.
But you know, we don't sing Alleluia during Lent. Know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little bit more... This is kind of an Alleluia type hymn.
Except...
Wouldn't you agree?
No. Where's the word Alleluia?
Well, you know what I mean. It has that kind of a...
No. You see, this is the point of the gospel. The gospel is... In fact, I talked about this on Monday. It was a Bible verse where Paul's talking about the cross. And I said, Paul never talks about the cross by itself. Nobody is saved by believing that Jesus died on the cross. The Pharisees were there. They saw it happen.
Right.
He always ties the cross to the benefits.
Right.
That we're redeemed by the cross.
Absolutely.
We're saved by the cross.
Right.
We're forgiven by the
right.
Cross never appears just as history, period. See, that's called historical faith. That saves nobody. You can believe every...
You can believe he was crucified,
sure.
Was executed by the Romans, and that doesn't save you, right.
Well, it didn't save them,
right.
Many of them. They saw it. They thought that...
Didn't save Pilate, for instance. We don't think.
Well, all depends. Some tradition has that he converted to Christianity, but don't know that for sure.
That's a new one on me.
Due to his wife.
Oh, yes, his wife, yes.
You're going to say, right again, Tom.
That could be a good story.
Oh, it would be. We'll find out when we get to heaven if we talk to her. All righty. If you would go on with the third stanza.
Jesus has come as the mighty Redeemer, See now the threatening strong one disarmed. Jesus breaks down all the walls of death's fortress, brings forth the prisoners triumphant unharmed. Satan, you wicked one, own now your master. Jesus has come, he the mighty redeemer. That's a great verse. I love that verse, isn't it? How he's destroyed death.
Yes, and when did that occur?
With his resurrection.
Well, the cross, too.
The cross, right,
yes.
Sure.
It remember, is the benefit of the cross.
Yes, right.
That's when the threatening one was disarmed at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what we sing.
It is finished.
In a mighty fortress. He's judged, the deed is done.
Deed is done, one little word can fell him.
Yes, and that's referring to the devil. So,
what's the little word? You know on that? What's that one little word?
Depart.
Depart from me, for I'm baptized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the word
it's
word.
It's not, it is finished?
I don't say it is finished.
Uh-huh. That's right, you're right. Be gone, Satan, I'm baptized.
One little word from us. That's really interesting. Luther didn't just do a little word. What did he throw at the devil? Against the wall.
Oh, an ink?
Yes,
an
very ink? Good. Yeah.
Ink container.
Yes.
Right.
Depart. Throws the ink. But we wouldn't do that today because all we have is a pen. It hardly makes any mark on the wall. But in those days... You see, Jesus has come as the mighty Redeemer. When did that occur?
Well, it is with his conception.
Yes. Yes. So, see, this is why I say that this is really referring. See now the threatening strong one disarmed. When did that occur? First time in the wilderness.
Right.
Remember the three temptations. And he breaks down the walls of death's fortress. That's the dividing wall of hostility that we set up between us and God due to our sin. Brings forth the prisoners triumphant, unharmed. Can you think of an event when that occurred at the cross?
Oh, well,
yes.
Are you referring to the resurrection
yes.
that took place? Some of the saints
exactly.
after the resurrection went into the city and
yeah.
showed themselves.
And that was... foretold, I would say, in the other resurrections Jesus did, like with Lazarus.
Right.
And then the widow's son and that. So you could even go back to the Old Testament and Elijah raising the widow's son from the dead.
Zarephath, right.
Remember, he goes down three times on the bed over the child.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very good.
And there's one time when they were burying somebody. And it touched the bones of either Elijah or Elisha, and the dead person was revived. You don't remember that?
That's in the Bible?
Yes, in the Old Testament. I can't remember whether it was Elijah or Elisha.
Oh.
But they were bringing the corpse out to bury it, and it touched the bones of Elijah or Elisha, and the person was resurrected. That's in the Old Testament.
Boy. I'm going to have to read
your Bible, Tom.
Yeah, I have to read the Bible. I could ask him what the verse is, but I don't want to embarrass him. All righty. If you would do stanza 4.
Jesus has come as the King of all glory. Heaven and earth, oh, declare his great power. Capturing hearts with the heavenly story, welcome him now in this fast fleeting hour. Ponder his love. Take the crown he has for you. Jesus has come. He, the King of all glory. Beautiful words.
And when do we get that crown for us?
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. Well, would you say at death?
No.
Okay. All right. Oh, great one. Tell us when.
Oh, boy.
At baptism?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are right, Tom.
Baptism, you're right. The crown of life has given us already a baptism.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's wonderful how you get the right answer as I mouth
well,
it to you.
Well, you know, you always sing that hymn, you think of the verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of
yes.
life.
Yes. Yes, that's...
the heavenly crown of life.
That's right. That's right. It's his crown, in fact. But If you take a look in Revelation, the saints are said to be already kings and priests, and
right.
We already have that authority.
We're already saints.
In fact, you have the authority to forgive the sins of people as a pastor, you know, upon this your confession.
Right.
And that's, remember, the new liturgy says, and upon his authority. And I kind of like that because...
In the stead and by the
command. We don't have the power to forgive sins.
No.
But we have the authority to forgive sins.
Yeah, good point.
Just like a judge has no power to put someone to death, but he's been given the authority under certain circumstances to send someone to capital punishment. Capturing hearts with the heavenly story. What's the heavenly story?
The gospel.
Yes. And that occurs now. So, yeah, capturing hearts, that's really what David talks about, creating me a
clean heart, O God.
Yes. Welcome him now in this fast fleeting hour.
Yeah.
That often refers to our time here on earth.
That's right.
It's not very long at all.
Yeah. Don't put it off, right?
No. If the world's been around since 6000 BC or whatever, you're just a tiny second your whole life.
A mist.
Yes. That's another good way of putting it. Yes. So ponder his love. Take the crown he has for you. Jesus has come. He the King of all glory. And so they have actually a collect at the bottom of this page. You want to read that?
Yes. Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Yeah, it's a tremendous hymn. And Johann Ludwig Conrad Ahlendorf was an excellent writer, but my buddy Oliver C. Ruprecht was a great translator. You know,
it's a beautiful hymn.
Yes. And I think in
would you say it's pretty would you say it's pretty singable?
Oh my, yes. Yeah, I mean
this is not, you know, it's not one of those hymns that I've used a lot, but regrettably, you know.
Well, let's listen once more to the
try it this Sunday.
Organ a little bit here. It's easy to sing. Another reason I think it's easy to sing is after it's done, you can whistle it.
Yes.
You can't whistle Isaiah Mighty Cyril. But this is a very good organist.
Oh, yeah.
Da 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 da. That's good.
It is.
So.
Beautiful.
I'm preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm this Sunday, and I already met with the secretary.
You mean they called you back? They
know.
Actually invited you back?
Yeah. And each time I come, the attendance goes lower and lower. No, I had one guy complain about my sermons.
Yeah, I heard, right.
Yeah, he says, boy, I don't like your sermons. I said, why? He says, normally I use the time to catch up on my sleep, and I'm unable to do that with you preaching. See, I asked that question.
You need to lower the volume a little bit.
Oh, did I have it loud. You know, it was the Elijah.
Uh-huh.
The wind.
Oh, right.
The earthquake.
Yes, yes.
And I said, why a still small voice? And I said, it's the difference between law and gospel. In the previous ones, God appears in a wind, earthquake, and storm, always under the law. But here, it's the gospel. Elijah's afraid. He thinks he's the only one.
Right.
So he gets the gospel. And so that was really pretty good. Quickly, when is are your services?
Yes, we have a Saturday evening service at 5 p.m. and a Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood.
And I'm going to be doing my last Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 11 a.m. We're going to do something special on Law and Gospel. In fact, you'll hear some of it on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Mark Smith and I, therefore, me until tomorrow,
listen,
God bless.
To Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.